Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karab, guten tag, ciao, wee viva, cat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection, prison, killitary, industrial, core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NRA, NSA, USA, home of Uncle Sam, Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, inexplicably broadcasting now for 13 years, as heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, now nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. I guess it's just that I've always really been ahead of my time. Yeah, I've always been ahead of my time. Yeah, in radio, my music formats, and everything from rock to jazz. Being ahead of your time means that you really can't keep a job because nobody realizes it's your time, and you don't really get paid that well, between jobs because nobody recognized it was your time. But okay, holy cow, doing a vegan radio program for 13 years, the first one in mainstream media, long before anybody knew what it was. What do you vegans want? Oi, vegan. What's a vegan anyway? Long before people like Mark Bittman were doing creative writing projects, to show us how to cheat on being vegan, or fish-eating vegans like Bill Clinton, who are redefining what vegan is. So, yes, I've always been considered a little ahead of my time. And, that's the radio career for you. So 13 years are enough, though, to be ahead of my time. I think the time is now, though. 13 years? Okay, I started 13. We had a 13-year head start for you to go vegan now. For you. Yes, you to go vegan now. The future is now. And I hope that you'll register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. That's in the not-too-distant future, March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015, when all of us vegans, or however you pronounce it, all of us people who are ahead of our time say, hey, the time is now, right? You can go to worldvegansummit.com. 13 years on air. How far ahead of one's time does one have to be? 13 years. Donald Watson created the word vegan in the 1940s, so I guess he was ahead of his time way back then. And then, let's see, the Bible, which so many people treat, as if it were a Bible, right in the beginning of that book, Genesis book 1, verse 29, predicts both that Donald Watson would be creating a new word in the 20th century to describe the Holy Scripture dietary plan, and also the Bible predicts that Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden will say, go forth and multiply as vegans. The Bible doesn't, say it exactly that way, but it's good allegorical interpretation that counts, right? It's not meant to be so literal, is it? Well, if it is meant to be literal, it does state emphatically that your food should be what grows from the earth, not animals or their secretions. And that book was published, thousands of years ago, with that vegan part in it at the time. So, I don't know, was that ahead of its time too? You know, that page probably, you know, keeps getting burnt for some reason. You know, it's used to start the fire on the grill at the church barbecue, maybe. Okay, you know, so there you go. Thousands of years old, ahead of its time. Has the time come to go vegan now? Take it from someone. I'm always ahead of my time, right? I have experience in, you know, seeing when the time is now catches up with, you know, ahead of its time. I mean, it was about 1993 or 1994 when I was program director of a radio station in Washington, D.C. called Jazzy 100, 100.3 WJZE, Jazzy 100. And at that time, 1993, I issued a directive to the air staff and our news director, Sandy Palmer, that we would no longer refer to the local football team as the Redskins. We would simply call it the Washington NFL team, you know, the Washington football team. As the sensitive vegan program director of the station recognized the racism in the name, you know, I mean, I certainly appreciate the uproar over, what's his name, Donald Sterling in the NBA, you know, and deserved uproar, right? But look at the industrialized, indoctrinated racism in the corporate sports world, you know, and look at how acceptable persecution of native peoples is today, where you... I mean, in the nation's capital, can call your team the Redskins. I mean, would you ever call the team the Blackskins? Would you call the team the Whiteskins? Huh? How about Skinheads? Huh? You know, which is a much less offensive name, and you can still preserve the underlying racism with that. What is a Cleveland Brown anyway? In the massacre of the native people, rewards were offered for scalps and skins. One received a reward for presenting, you know, the red skin of a murder victim. You know, that's what it was, you know. So, I mean, calling yourself, you know, calling oneself a Redskin, as all the fans do, as the brainwashed chicken wing eating masses are, you know, doing. I mean, you know, what are you calling yourself there, huh? What's in a name? Well, there's certainly rape and pillage in that name. I don't know. It's just really weird when you call yourself a Redskin. You may think you're associating yourself with, you know, brave warriors, when in fact you're calling yourself a human organ of a murder victim. So, I mean, I can hear the cheering in the stands now. Yeah, go, human organs of murder victims. Go, you know, score that touchdown. I don't think the team's calling themselves... you know, Indians, Chiefs, Braves, or Seminoles are really that much better either, with the offensive caricature, you know, the caricatures, the logos, the tomahawk wave, you know, dressing up in feathers, you know. So anyway, so there you go. A few days ago in 2014, 21 years after Jazzy 100 took action, the U.S. Patent Office refused to register the Redskins' name because it is racist, a decision which may have little or no impact on the Washington NFL team. But at least it says something, right? It's progress. Yeah, and, And with those progressive music formats, I was definitely ahead of my time. And progressive issues, we were collecting blankets for the homeless as concert admission at Jazzy 100. And we had our office recycling project. We had a campaign against nukes with our station in Raleigh. Back at that time, when I decided not to call the team the Redskins, I mean, I was ridiculed a bit. But now, 21 years later, thanks to the patent office, I can say, I told you so. We were right. And I hope that I'm not too far ahead of my time, you know, for this one. But I'm wondering, you know, all those people now who are against the name Redskins, who now relate to, you know, the skins of racism, if maybe in the near future, as they protest the name, you know, maybe they'll look down at their shoes or as they buckle their belt or, you know, reach for their wallet, that maybe they will see the skins of oppression there too. The skins of racism were so awful. You know, how about the skins of speciesism? So awful also. And, you know, the trophy in the massacre of animals, you know, that's your leather shoes, your leather gloves, your leather belt, leather wallet, leather handbag, you know, your leather jacket, your fur trim, your wool, your silk. How long will we have to wait for the time to be right to fight that social injustice? The day can come today. You can go vegan today and decide to stop eating and wearing animals. And you too can be ahead of your time, right on time. Going vegan is so heroic, really, in the scope of what it accomplishes. I mean, nothing short of saving the planet and saving countless people and billions of animals. It's really so heroic that if I were the owner of the Washington, D.C. NFL team, I'd dump the name Redskins and become the Washington Vegans in a heartbeat. Now, that name would, you know, really strike fear in the hearts of other NFL team owners, you know, against whom you would be playing, right? The Green Bay Packers are named for meat packers, huh? So how psyched out would those cheesehead Packers be playing against the Washington Vegans, huh? Hey, the vegans are pretty tough, too, if you follow the worlds of sports and boxing and UFC. And anyway, really, let's have the Packers play against the vegans who really want to wipe out the meat that they pack, right? Wouldn't the ratings skyrocket on Thanksgiving on the television set when, you know, the NFL game is the Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Vegans? Imagine how the Washington Vegans cheerleaders would psych out the Cowboys, chanting how, you know, who the team represents, you know, are, you know, cow rapists, baby cow kidnappers, you know, cow stabbers. Yeah, that's the way to go. The Washington Vegans, the American Vegans, the world vegans. Okay, it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Lind and Anuj Shah coming up. He's with Vegan World Radio. And next hour, animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione. And please donate. It's tax deductible at goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. You can support the show with a tax-deductible donation at GoVeganRadio.com. Also on our wish list is a vehicle, if you'd like to donate your vehicle, that is tax-deductible to the extent allowable by law. And I do want to remind you that registration is open for the World Vegan Summit and Expo happening in Southern California, Los Angeles area, coming March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015. You can read all about it and register right this very moment at worldvegansummit.com, worldvegansummit.com. And this is an HSUS free event, so, you know, that makes it worth it right there. It will not be infiltrated by the Humane Society of the United States, as will be the case with the so-called Animal Rights Conference coming up in Los Angeles in July, where the butcher advocacy organization HSUS will be featured in a speaking engagement there. This pro-meat, anti-vegan group, looking at the latest dirt on HSUS, as reported by Humane Watch, it says here a sharp-eyed reader pointed us to something buried in HSUS's latest tax return covering the year 2012. On page 32, HSUS states that it made an, quote, investment totaling $25.7 million in the Central American and the Caribbean region. We went back to, and this is Humane Watch talking, we went back to HSUS's 2009, 2010, and 2011 tax returns. There were no reported investments of any kind abroad. Strange? We think so, I continue to quote. Where exactly is this $26 million invested? It turns out that HSUS funneled megabucks to several funds located in the Cayman Islands. You know, the secretive place where secretive people stuff their secretive money. Bond villain type stuff. So where did HSUS donor money go? According to its 990T and supplemental forms, $500,000 to Ascend Partners Fund LP, a Cayman hedge fund, $253,000 to BKM Holdings, Cayman Limited, $8 million to Four Multi-Strategy Offshore Fund Limited in the Caymans, $5 million to Hayman Capital Offshore Partners LP in Bermuda, $6.7 million invested in Fir Tree International Value Fund in the Caymans. We did a little more digging into these groups, which appear mostly to be hedge funds, I continue to quote. But why would a U.S. charity be putting $26 million in the Caribbean? And the figures above only add up to a little over $20 million. Where's the other $5 million? HSUS is a nonprofit. It's not in the business of investing money in hedge funds to make a profit. It's in the business, according to its ads, of saving animals now. Now means right away, not in 10 years when HSUS may have made a loss on its Caribbean investments. HSUS reports in its 990T losing $61,000 in 2012 on various partnerships. The bottom line, it's hard to save animals when you've parked $25 million offshore. Then it says here on Humane Watch, there's a reason people write HSUS as in H dollar sign, U dollar sign. It's because money seems to come first for the cynics and the bean counters running HSUS. And it's one more reason to give to your local shelter directly, not to a questionable national organization that might stick your donations in the Caymans. Well, I feel kind of feel like I've been recognized for the way I write HSUS with the dollar signs. That's my contribution right there. Okay. If you'd like to send money that will not go to the Cayman Islands, you can donate to Go Vegan Radio, or you can register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, worldvegansummit.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden, and also I direct your attention to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can register right this very moment at worldvegansummit.com. We're looking forward to seeing you there in Southern California, March 20, 21, and 22. And we look forward to seeing our next guest there also, Anuj Shah, who is a longtime friend. He is a Houston area attorney, longtime vegan, one of the hosts of Vegan World Radio on KPFT, the Houston Pacifica radio station. And, you know, Anuj, I'm not used to this. I'm used to you introducing me. Right about now, you'd be saying, "Oh, and you won. What was that award again? The Shining World World. What's that? That's I'm so used to you introducing me. But Anuj, you are a Shining World hero too, because you are a vegan who definitely lets the world know about it. So, how are you doing today?
Well, that's a very nice introduction, Bob. Thank you. I am doing great, and I'm so happy to be on your show. I think this is a first. I've had you on our show a number of times, but it's really an honor to be on your show. You're our inspiration, and you're the reason we started Vegan Radio in Houston 12 years ago now.
Oh, you're just making that up. What do you mean you started a show in Houston because of me?
Well, I had to say something flattering since you have me on your show.
Okay. Well, it's true, though. Now people are saying, now we made it up because, okay. Right. I was on that very first show. You know, now this show is on 13 years. How long is Vegan World Radio on the air?
Well, Vegan World Radio started in May of 2002. So just for clarification, it started out as Go Vegan Texas. And there was somebody named Janice Blue who held down the fort really well for 6 years. And then, you know, things changed and it became Vegan World Radio. And now we're a collective of a number of people. And I'm one of the collective and hosts of the show.
Yep. Right there in the hotbed of veganism, Houston, Texas. I think people would be surprised that, you know, I think I know at least 11 vegans in Texas myself. So there've got to be many there, and there's actually a strong movement going on for a long time, thanks to Shirley Wilkes Johnson, our beloved friend there.
Absolutely, I dedicate all my shows to her loving memory, and she passed in April of 2011. She was the pioneer of the show here in Houston, along with Janice Blue and. You know, really, it's amazing. We're in our 13th year. You started in January of 2001, Bob. I still remember I was there with you. I was going to law school in Los Angeles, and we became fast friends. And, you know, and here you are 13 and a half years later, and we just passed our 12-year mark into our 13th year in Houston, of all places. I mean, you're in California, you know, but Houston, like you said, I mean, it's not exactly like you walk out and keep bumping into vegans everywhere. So it's really inspiring and wonderful that we can keep doing this here. You know, there's so many other cities that people may want to add to a list of, you know, quote-unquote progressive cities that don't have a vegan radio program. But we here in Houston, Texas do. It's astounding, and we are really, really excited about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's probably you're more of a freak show. People tune in. It's like, wow, vegans. Hey, oh, you know, which, you know, had been the case. I mean, this show has been on, you know, right-wing radio stations, all sorts of conservative, oddly enough, stations over the years. And it's always had high ratings, which makes me think at least people are curious, you know? I mean, everybody eats and people are concerned about animals, the environment, their health. So they sneak, you know, they sneak a listen. It's, you know, it's like, well, don't let anybody know, but I'm listening to those vegans here now, you know, so.
Right. Well, yeah, I think you said it right there, Bob. I mean, I think, you know, everybody consumes food and, you know, wherever they are on their journey or their path or whatever it is, you know, everybody, I think most people, I think they've done research that shows that well over 95% of people, 98% of people, when asked whether it's okay to have, you know, to cause unnecessary suffering to animals, to non-human animals, say no, it's not. They are not in favor of that. And yet those same 98% of people, the vast majority of them, consume animal foods and wear animal products and that kind of thing. So there's a huge disconnect. But, you know, it was funny. I just got back into town today. I was at a conference on the East Coast, and there was a guy wearing a vegan shirt at the airport early this morning. And I went up to him, and we had a really great conversation. And he said, you know, deep down, everyone at some level knows that they ought to be vegan. I mean, they may not even know that word, but somehow, you know, there may be a giant disconnect for a lot of people. There may be a small disconnect for others. for people who are not vegan, but somewhere they know that they're eating the flesh and fluids of these animals, and they can't possibly, at some deep subconscious level at least, know that that animal didn't live a rosy life and he or she had to be slaughtered at some point. And, and I think that there are some deep misgivings about it. And, of course, Dr. Will Tuttle, you know, beautifully and brilliantly puts it and talks about it in his book, The Will of Peace Diet. I know you've had Dr. Tuttle on your show a lot as well. And, it's sort of the defining blindness of our time, of the human race, that, three times a day people are partaking in this kind of, oppression, and yet somehow bury it deep into their subconsciousnesses and sort of don't really pay attention to it or sort of try to repress it or avoid thinking about it. And yet I think people do, care, and people are opening up more and more, very much thanks to people like you, Bob, and your incredible show and your inspiration and all the great things that are going on out there. I went vegan in 1989, February 27th. I still remember the day. And I know you went vegan some 5 or so years before that. And things have really changed in the last 25 or 30 years. You know, I mean, you can go into the grocery store and there are so many amazing options and possibilities and foods and things that you can just really enjoy and people can really partake of and live a great, thriving life on a vegan diet. So it's really exciting where we are right now in the, scheme of things.
Yeah. And Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga has 8,000 items, 8,000 vegan items for sale. So,
wow.
Bob,
I interviewed a guy a few months ago. He's one of the founders or whatever it is of Happy Cow. You know, if people go to happycow.com, they can find out vegan and vegetarian and restaurants and natural food stores.
Is it happycow.net maybe? I'm thinking it might be .net.
Well, sure. It's both, actually, because when I interviewed him on the radio, he said they actually got the happycow.com as well.
Oh, okay.
So if you go to happycow.net or happycow.com, you can find out, some really great vegan and vegetarian restaurants or vegan and vegetarian friendly restaurants, natural food stores all over the world. And he was saying that in Germany, there's a store called Vegan, and they're going to be opening up all over. And if I understood him right, he said there were 80 kinds of vegan cheese that they'll be selling. So, of course, that means I have to close down my practice and sell my house and
become a cheese taster, and write columns on it. We're gonna have a lot of interesting cheese at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Miyoko Shinner will be there, and we'll be having at the Friday night reception, a cheese board. You're right. That's one of the things that people just they say, well, I could go vegan except for cheese, and we're perfecting it. But in the meantime, just remember your cheese, the dairy protein, is the number one carcinogen, full of pus and tuberculosis and leukemia, and yuck. So it's really awful.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's amazing. I know that Dr. Neil Barnard talks about it in his book, Breaking the Food Seduction, and I think other people talk about it as well. There's just a casomorphine effect with cheese. It breaks down in the intestinal system, and people just are actually literally addicted to it. And so it's amazing the resistance people have. Well, I could be vegan, but I just can't give up cheese. And I'm hoping they're perfecting it more and more. I'm excited about, the guests you're having at the expo next year, Bob, you just mentioned. And we'll have to go to Germany one of these days to taste these other cheeses. I will tell you that we went, I think I might have shared this with you, a couple of years ago, we took a family trip to the south of France, and there's a little city called Menton that's just near the border of Italy. It's just east of, Monte Carlo, and they have a Loving Hut there. And so we went back there several times just for their cheese. They had 5 or 6 different kinds of French, completely vegan cheeses that were so luscious. I keep telling the Loving Hut people here locally, I said, I don't know what you guys do, but you need to get with the people in the south of France and get that cheese over here, because there's going to be a line out the door. Somehow they're not really getting the message. I'm not sure why. And I'm sure there are logistical issues they have to deal with. But, when you feed people wonderful food, as I know Julia Butterfly Hill has said, as well as a lot of other people, I'm sure after her, have people go vegan, feed them wonderful food. And we all eat such incredible food all the time. And people just don't realize, we don't subsist on a diet of sprouts and berries and and, lettuce or something like that. You know, far from it, actually.
Oh, yeah, we have the best food. We're foodies. We're foodies.
Well, that's the thing. We're all foodies. People don't get it. We go all around the world and eat the absolute best, most flavorful, luscious, crumptious, delicious, you know, filling, satisfying, fulfilling food. It's incredible. And the majority of the people are just eating one version of an animal cadaver, after another, drenched in some kind of sauce to cover up the cadaver taste, essentially, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's all in the gravy. Anyway, texture and gravy. So, amazing what tofu can do also. So, so your heritage is Indian, which, doesn't always say vegan. It says dairy, quite often, right?
I know it's deeply distressing to me, Bob, and just for clarification, for the PC people out there, I'm not sure, there's so many different ways of saying it, but not Native American, but we're from India, the country. So my parents grew up there, and they came to the United States in the 70s, and I was born here in New York City, in fact. And anyway, so I'm a New Yorker, but I can't handle the weather, so I migrated down south here. But we are Indian, and it is really sad. They're so close and yet so far. When you go to India, when you say vegetarian, it's wonderful because everybody gets it. They get that vegetarian does not mean chicken, it's not fish, chicken broth is not okay, fish sauce is not okay, and they even get that eggs are not okay. But the flip side of it is they are so addicted and infatuated with mammary secretions from cows, as you always call them, Bob, bovine mammary secretions, it's really insane, and it's really sad and tragic because we know how deeply and tragically those cows suffer. And their little babies who are males become veal calves. I don't know if that happens in India. I don't know that they have a veal calf industry there, but we do here in the United States. But
Anuj, we have to take a break now. We will continue with Anuj Shah, the first one to ever donate to Go Vegan Radio. You can donate today at goveganradio.com and click the donate button. We'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and please visit the website WorldVeganSummit.com and register and plan on attending. I'll be there. So will my guest, Anuj Shah, who is part of a collective that hosts Vegan World Radio on KPFT, the Houston Pacifica radio station. Anuj and I go back a long time, back to his attending law school in the L.A. area. I mentioned Anuj was the first one to ever make a donation to Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. So I have you to blame, for this 13 years I've had to go through, Anuj. I'm telling you, it's like...
Yeah, well, 13 and a half. And, as you were, you kind of mentioned that as we were getting into the commercial break, and I was thinking about it, I said, you know what, Bob, I want my money back.
Oh, really? Don't give that idea to anyone, please. What are you talking about?
No. You're doing something wonderful.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you.
No, I was just saying you're doing such a great job, Bob, out there. We were talking about India, and, more and more people are starting to understand, even though people of Indian origin and stuff, for whatever reason, they're just not clear, most of them, about the suffering and the horrible life that dairy cows live and endure. But I will tell you that people like you, I know you're such a shining hero on this in this regard as well, and Gary Francione and people have gone to Jain conventions, right? And Jainism, as many people may know, is one of the major religions of India, and their central tenet is called Ahimsa, which means nonviolence, no harm. And a lot of people who are Jain should be vegan, no question, but for whatever reason are the standard Indian vegetarian. They don't have any dairy, they don't have any, meats or poultry or fish or eggs, but they'll gladly bathe in cow secretions till the cows come home, if I could use that crazy expression. But, you know, but you guys have gone into Jain conventions and really inspired people to see, you know, a different way. And I think that's really that's really great that you guys have done that. And I hope you guys keep doing that. And I'd like the opportunity to do that at some point as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, no glass of milk or no dairy comes without suffering, killing, death, rape, murder. I mean, you just can't get it. Doesn't come free of those ingredients. So, you know, and so certainly, I don't know. I mean, if garlic is so terrible or onions, maybe we can make that glass of cow's milk terrible too. You know.
I mean, sure. Well, you know, and for people who are listening, maybe people are listening for the first time. I don't know the kind of listenership you have, Bob. I'm sure you have all kinds of people listening. I mean, I just encourage people to go online and just learn for themselves. You know, this really great guy I met this morning at the airport. And by the way, I spent the better part of a week in Boston, and there were some fun vegan and vegetarian restaurants there. We tried. So that was nice to experience that. But this guy, you know, he was wearing a vegan T-shirt, and we started talking, and he said he was vegetarian for 15 years before he went vegan, and he said he just didn't know. I said, well, tell me what had you go vegan? What finally, you know, where did you finally get the information? And he just said he himself got curious. You know, one day something occurred to him. He thought, gosh, you know, I mean, these hens or these eggs that I'm eating and these mammary secretions that I'm consuming from cows, whatever, what's really behind this? I don't know, something inspired him to do that. And people can easily go online nowadays, go to YouTube and just type in undercover, you know, dairy farm abuse or dairy investigation or egg farm, you know, whatever it is, abuse. And you'll just find so much information, and people can really see with their own eyes what's going on. And as you've probably covered on your show as well, Bob, you know, this undercover footage that people are risking so much, their liberty and so forth, to go and get just to educate people, to expose this horrific, you know, all the cruelty and everything. A number of states have now tried to pass laws, you know, called the ag gag laws, right? Trying to say, hey, if you actually go in undercover and expose all this horrific cruelty, you can actually be criminally liable. Which, of course, you know, you thought we lived in the United States of America, but I guess sometimes you think you live in the police state of America. I don't know. But anyway,
well, you know, people should recognize that those videos of undercover cruelty happen every day. That's the you know, that's business as usual in on all of these farms. So it's nothing unusual, and unless a vegan message comes with it, you know, you can't say to people that this animal killer is going to improve conditions or anything. If you don't approve of it, you have to go vegan. We'll continue with Anuj Shah on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Coming right up, the website, goveganradio.com. Once again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we've expanded to 2 hours when we began syndication with the Genesis Communications Network, and we are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also go to goveganradio.com and click Listen Live and hear us there. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the program, you can email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. We appreciate the support of Greenlight Meals, providing a very valuable service wherever you are in the USA. You have no excuse not to go vegan, because Greenlight Meals delivers right to your door, right to your home or office, wherever you are in the U.S., even in Houston, Texas, where our guest Anuj is today, and a wonderful menu. Go to greenlightmeals.com. Check out the menu, greenlightemeals.com. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, smoothies, and really, really amazing foods that the kids will love, desserts, options for nutrition and weight loss. So I strongly recommend that you go to greenlitemeals.com. It's time to go vegan, and you're hearing all the reasons why. You can have great food delivered right to your door, and Greenlight Meals will have an exhibitor table at the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up in Southern California on March 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Marina del Rey Marriott. Go to the website worldvegansummit.com for the information, the activities, the sample menu. We'll be eating veganic food. Yes, grown veganically. Vegan, organic. I don't want to ruin organic for you, but you know, in the growing process, animal products can be used. You know, the blood meals, the bone meals, the manure. But We will be experiencing as much veganically grown food as possible at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and we'll see Greenlight Meals there. We'll see sentientlifestyle.com, sentientlifestyle.com also supporting us and helping us with a donation when we were needing to get things started so we could make the deposit for the Marriott. Sentient Lifestyle was there right from the start, sentientlifestyle.com. And also Vegetarian House gave us $1,000 toward getting the summit going. Vegetarian House, one of the finest vegan restaurants in the known universe in San Jose, if you're lucky enough to be in the Bay Area, 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. And Vegetarian House caters throughout the Bay Area. So your next business event or social event or wedding can really be special, catered by Vegetarian House. Again, vegetarianhouse.us. We're talking to Anuj Shah, who is an old friend who also happens to be a host in the collective of hosts for Vegan World Radio on KPFT in Houston. Long-running program there, inspired by this program, so he says. And Anuj, just one other thing. We mentioned the word vegetarian, and I'm not giving anybody any credit for it anymore. I mean, Vegetarian House is, you know, it's a 100% vegan restaurant, has had the name for forever, as with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, which promotes veganism, actually. But lately, I don't know, that word vegetarian, when applying to people who consume dairy or eggs, or sometimes they even say, I'm a vegetarian who consumes fish or chicken, I don't know if that word is useful at all anymore.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, people have really distorted what that means. I mean, I think that, you know, traditionally it definitely, I think that really traditionally it probably, it meant vegan. But then over time, I think that people who are, you know, ovo-vegetarians or lacto-vegetarians or ovo-lacto-vegetarians, you know, consuming eggs or dairy or whatever it is, you know, are still, I guess, technically vegetarians or certainly not vegans. But it's true. There's so many different, you know, I have a friend I was with in Boston, and she's a pescatarian, and people say they're flexitarians, which that's a fascinating concept. So I guess some days of the week you choose to murder animals and others you don't, or some,
exactly.
Some people choose to torture and murder animals and others you don't. So I guess you're flexible in your morals. You know, there was that great movie, that great line in that movie a few years ago. I don't know if you saw that movie called Thank You for Smoking. And it was all about the lobbyists and, on Capitol Hill and that kind of thing. And this guy who's a lobbyist for the cigarette industry has to talk to his son. His son says, Dad, what exactly is it that you do now? And so they get into the discussion, and he's like, well, how can you do that, Dad? And his dad says, you know, son, I got to tell you, you know, doing what I do requires a certain kind of moral flexibility. So I guess that's
exactly.
A moral flexibility, you know.
right. Well,
we joke about it, but I don't want to certainly diminish or denigrate people's efforts. You know, I know that for whatever reason, a lot of people have, you know, food is such a deeply rooted thing in our psyches, in our history, in our brains, in our evolution, in culture, in religion, and family traditions, and so forth. And so I know that there are people who are trying and who are trying to move toward a vegan diet. And of course, people like you and me, Bob, I think we just want to say, stop, go vegan now, right? But I guess for some people, maybe it's just not something they're able to do right away, but they're trying. So I don't want to you know, I certainly applaud those people and encourage them, and I want you to consider, I want you to keep doing what you're doing, those of you out there who are like that, and hopefully one day soon you will be able to go vegan, because as you continue to listen to Bob's show and you know, educate yourselves and learn about what's going on out there, it's so horrific and unconscionable, really, that we just want everything to stop, and we want the 80 or so billion animals every year who are confined and mutilated, tortured, and slaughtered. We want that to stop, and we just want a vegan, peaceful world where we can all just live in harmony and have great food and live happily and eat nutritious, wonderful meals and just, you know, focus on other things instead of having to worry about, you know, destroying the environment and killing animals and destroying our health.
I would love to go back and play music on the radio again someday, but you know, we have our priorities. So I just want vegetarians to know that for whatever reason you say you went vegetarian, whatever that means, that's the reason that you actually need to go vegan, because you're still involved with, you know, animal torture and killing, the health risks and the environmental devastation. So you really accomplish nothing by continuing to consume animal products, whether they be, you know, dairy, cheese, eggs. So you really do need to go vegan. There's, you know, I mean, we're confining our oppression to specific species then, you know, it's like, okay, I'm a vegetarian. I only oppress, you know, cows and chickens, you know. So, we have you have coming up in Houston, and I see it's the Veg Fest Houston. Although I'm starting to call all these VEG things Veg, so I don't know. Forgive me if I read it as Veg Fest for some reason. Oh, but I see it says the premier vegan community festival of Texas. So you're not hiding it from us. That's great.
No, not at all. In fact, Bob, I want to say, just for full disclosure, I'm on the committee for VegFest Houston, and I'm also on the board of the Vegan Society of Peace. And it's really great because the Society of Peace was started by Kristen Leonin and Tosh Schertz, her husband. We just got through 10 years. We're in our 11th year now.
Am I there?
Society of Peace. They've done a wonderful job. And, you know, Peace stands for People for the Earth, Animals, Compassion, and Enlightenment. And it used to be called Society of Peace for the very longest time, but it was a little confusing because a lot of people who are, let's say, anti-war groups and that kind of thing, you know, people were associating it, you know, us with that, which were, of course, anti-war. But, you know, the primary, of course, veganism encompasses all nonviolence, right? But we went ahead and changed the name to Vegan Society of Peace several years ago to make it super clear that that's where we were coming from. And so we make no bones about it. In fact, you know, we're going to have our fourth annual Veg Fest this year. It's the first 3 years, it was in June. And this year, for scheduling reasons, we have it in July. It's going to be great. It's July 19th, Saturday. It's a one-day, all-day festival here in Houston. We're inching toward 2 days. We're not quite there in Houston yet. But we've got a wonderful one-day festival, Saturday, July 19th. It's going to be indoors. So for people who know about the infamous heat and humidity in Houston in July, not to worry. It'll be indoors with air conditioning. Tons of booths and vendors with wonderful food. We're going to have entertainment. We're going to have a kids zone for kids to have fun and play. Last year, I think we had a big fire engine because there's a firehouse across the street, and they had brought a fire engine for the kids to play with and to play on. I think there's going to be a teenage zone, so there's going to be lots of interesting video games, nonviolent, of course, bands and entertainment, and cooking demonstrations. There's going to be some yoga and meditation, and lots of really great talks. In fact, we have so many speakers that now we have got to do two tracks. We've got two speaker tracks in two different locations, in an auditorium and I think in another location, because it's just so popular. So it's going to be so much fun. And, you know, we've grown every year, Bob. Well, first of all, I want to say it's a volunteer, 100% volunteer-run organization. No one is making any money on this. No one is getting paid. We are, as you will very well appreciate, a completely abolitionist festival. So, you know, I will not mention any names, but there have been organizations who have applied for a booth, and because they send mixed messages to people saying that it's okay to eat happy meat or, you know, the cadavers of animals who are somehow treated, quote-unquote, humanely, that it's fine. We don't believe in that, and so we have rejected all of those applications. You'll be very happy to know.
I'm very happy to know, yes.
Yeah, no, we're really excited. You know, we really are sticking with our values. And so, you know, we're the first vegan festival in Texas, and this is our fourth year, and we've doubled every year. The first year, we just tried it. We said, okay, let's do it. And we had about 750 or 800 people. In 2012, we doubled that to about 1,500. Then we had to move to a new venue because we needed the space. Last year, it was kind of hard to keep track of. The venue is so large. There's so many different entrances. We kind of weren't able to keep full track of the people, but we estimate there were almost 3,000 people there. So I don't know if this year we're going to have 6,000 if we're on the doubling track or what, but it's a really fantastic event. People can go to VegFest Houston, VegFest, F-E-S-T, Houston.com, and just learn about it, see who the speakers are going to be, what's on the schedule. The website might not be fully updated because we're still working through a lot of the sponsors. There's opportunities for people to sponsor, to have a booth. You know, we had somebody from California last year who had a booth. That was great, a company there, and people from California can sponsor. They can have a booth. And we have people from all over the nation who are, donating stuff, providing coupons, or whatever, just being participating in some way or another. And it's a great way for people in the Houston area to go out and have a great, fun day during the summer. And
Anuj, hang on. One more break. We'll continue with Anuj Shah in Houston, that hotbed of veganism. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Support the program with a tax-deductible donation at GoVeganRadio.com. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and please go to WorldVeganSummit.com. WorldVeganSummit.com. Register, join us this coming March. Our intention is to save the world, it's the intention. We're talking to our friend Anuj Shah, who is with Vegan World Radio that airs on KPFT in Houston, and telling us about VegFest Houston, which is coming up July 19th, the fourth annual. And what's exciting is that, and also, by the way, coming to the World Vegan Summit and Expo, I just want to thank for support Nature's Flavors, who also were significant in helping us make that payment to the Marriott. Phase one, we have to raise a lot more money. We do that through the registration, and you'll see how meals are included and the amazing menu, and we'll be using Veganic, and check it all out there on the website, worldvegansummit.com. Nature's Flavors, who give us Birdie and Bill's sodas, and the Select brand, S-E-E-L-E-C-T. You've seen Select Tea and baking products. Totally 100% vegan company. We thank it for its support. And Anuj, a few minutes left here. It's really ingratiating to see the attendance at a vegan festival in Houston growing by leaps and bounds. And that you, I don't know if you still have the vegan chili cook-off, but I was there a few years ago, and it was mobbed. It's like there's so much interest everywhere in being vegan, and you have that fire engine there, which is good to let people know that meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption causes global warming and the wildfires and the drought,
Absolutely, Bob. Well, I have to say, you're absolutely right. I mean, people are both literally and figuratively really hungry for this information. I'm sure talk about on your show a lot, we live in a corporatocracy, right? We don't have a true democracy anymore. The corporations pretty much have infested and dominated Congress and our lawmaking process. And, everything that happens, the majority of what happens tends to be things that benefit corporations. And so there's a giant misinformation and disinformation campaign that's been going on for a really long time in this country about, food and nutrition. And as all of us who've been vegan for such a long time, or even vegetarians, funny enough, the first question you'll ever get asked when you declare that you're a vegetarian or a vegan is where on earth do you get your protein? I you know, Bob, I guess if we had a dollar for every time we were asked that, I guess we could all just retire and give Bill Gates and Warren Buffett a run for their money. You know, but there's so much misinformation and, again, disinformation out there because there's so much money to be made by these animal food industries that, you know, it's really great that people are waking up. People are saying, you know what, there's something funny about this. You know, cancer cannot be normal. Diabetes does not have to be normal. You know, heart disease does not have to be normal. Getting a quintuple bypass surgery and ripping open somebody's chest and, you know, taking a vein or an artery from a, whatever it is, from a different part of their body and sticking it in the heart. I mean, none of this is normal. Why does this have to be the norm and the way people live? There must be a better way. There's got to be a healthier way to live. There's got to be a more compassionate way to live. And people are gradually, slowly but surely, really finding out about this. And it's really exciting because we're sort of in a very tiny minority right now. You know, we are drowned out by corporate media, as you like to say, Bob, the media. And, you know, but we are making strides. Wonderful shows like yours, you know, festivals all around the world, I think, you know, the World Vegan Expo and Summit next March in the Los Angeles area that you're heading up. I mean, it's just great. People are really, really interested and excited about this. And we're really
there needs to be a sense of urgency. I mean, climate change is upon us. And then when we hear that animal agriculture causes at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, we need a sense of urgency. We should have that sense of urgency about the massacre of you know, billions of innocent creatures and the health of our children. The, you know, every epidemic, as you say, heart disease, cancer, stroke. Anuj, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being with us today. What a great guest you are, as you're always a great host on Vegan World Radio.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's been wonderful, and all the best to you with everything. And everybody, please open your hearts and go vegan. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks so much. Anuj Shah, we'll see you at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, worldvegansummit.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and I invite you to visit WorldVeganSummit.com. Registration is open there, and now it is time for Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione of Rutgers University, the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school. His latest book, now translated into many languages, is Eat Like You Care with Anna Charlton, the website abolitionistapproach.com. How are you today, Professor Gary Francione?
Fine, I'm fine, Bob. I want to clarify that. It's only now translated into Spanish, but Portuguese and German and French are on their way, and it's going to be in Slovenian. So we're going to have we are seeing multiple translations.
As soon as you finish all the Rosetta Stone courses, is that what
yes,
it is?
Yes, exactly. I'm doing them all myself. No, actually, the Spanish translation was done by professional translator Joanna Porter and Mariana Gonzalez, who is the administrator, or one of the administrators of my Facebook page, and they did a fabulous job. You know, I mean, it's very tricky because you've got Spanish speakers who in Puerto Rico, in Spain, in Mexico, in Argentina, and different places, and the dialects are a little bit different. So
right, yeah.
Joanna and Mariana had a very challenging time to try to come up with a translation that would be okay for everybody. But in any event, I want to continue what happened because some interesting things have happened this week in connection with the the Caparros campaign. I talked about that last week. This is a Jewish ceremony where one transfers one's sins to an object, and some Jews use as the object to which they transfer their sins a chicken who is then slaughtered. And this is controversial because there's now an anti-Caparros campaign. I believe the campaign is out your way in Los Angeles, but it's very much focused here in New York City on the Hasidic community in Brooklyn. And I participated in a panel at the New York City Bar Association on the 12th of June, which I raised the issue about my problem with this campaign. I mean, obviously, I'm a vegan for 32 years now. I'm opposed to all animal exploitation whatsoever. That's about as clear as it gets with me in terms of my opposition to all animal exploitation. But I have a problem with single issue campaigns because they have a tendency to segregate people. They have a tendency to make certain forms of exploitation look worse than other forms of exploitation, and by implication, the campaigns tend to condone the other forms of exploitation that are not being criticized, and they have a tendency to demonize certain groups of people who are doing things that are largely similar to what everybody else is doing. And so I have a problem with these campaigns, and I think it's particularly difficult when you have groups that have been discriminated against traditionally, including Jews, and so I raised this issue. And it was very interesting, Bob, because I got a very serious negative reaction from a lot of animal rights activists. Now, my getting a serious negative reaction from animal rights activists or animal activists, I don't want to call them animal rights activists, but animal welfare activists and whatnot, my getting a serious reaction from them and a negative reaction is nothing new. And indeed, the fact that I do get such a negative reaction actually convinces me that I'm on the right course. But I was really disappointed because I think this is a serious issue. I think, when you're coming out against the Jewish community and saying, look what they're doing to these chickens. This is really terrible. This is barbaric. This is horrible. This is that. And what they're doing is no different from what's going on at every non-religious slaughterhouse on planet Earth, chicken slaughterhouse on planet Earth. And morally, it's no different. I mean, if you want to go protest in Crown Heights to what the Hasidim are doing to the chickens, then I'd like to know why you're not protesting outside of all the shishi restaurants in Manhattan that serve chicken. I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, what's the difference? And just to give you a sort of a sense as to, I think it's always better to take it out of the animal context to sort of see what the problem is. Let's imagine, there is circumcision is something that Jews do, but it's also something which is done by a lot of non-Jewish children as well. Now, I think it's mutilation. It shouldn't be done by anybody, but it is done both to Jewish children and to non-Jewish children. And let's imagine we had a campaign that targeted only, and this is an excellent example that was provided by a terrific, terrific Canadian abolitionist advocate named Vince Kahane, who has been, he actually was one of the early people who sort of got on board with the abolitionist approach a few years back and has been just a terrific advocate in Canada. And Vincent came up with this excellent analogy. He said, look, let's imagine you have a campaign against only Jewish circumcision. What the Jews are doing to children is terrible. They're mutilating children. They're doing this. They're doing that. We would all see that immediately. No one would question that's a problematic campaign because it's targeting the Jews and acting as though they're doing something different from what everybody else is doing, what all of the non-religious circumcisers and circumcision represents. And so, that's no one would dispute that. But there's no difference with this Caparros campaign. And so, I didn't think, frankly, when I showed up on the 12th of June at the New York City Bar Association and gave my talk, I didn't think it was going to be particularly controversial. I mean, I thought, they must have invited me for a reason. They know what I'm going to say, and what I'm going to say is I don't like single-issue campaigns, and I've made the point that, you know, that I think Santeria, the prosecution of Santeria people, you know, I don't agree, again, I don't agree with the Santaros do with animals in terms of their sacrifices, but their religious sacrifices, but, you know, what's going on, you know, again, you know, what's the difference between what they're doing and what everybody else is doing, except they're brown people, and, you know, a lot of them don't speak English, and they're easy to, you know, to persecute, they're easy to go after, and so, you know, so I gave my talk at the Bar Association, didn't realize I was going to really ignite this storm, but some of the reactions I got, and I'm not going to mention names of people because it's not going to be helpful, but I have all of these things in writing, and I can back it up, but I don't want to talk about names. Somebody called me a bigot. A prominent animal advocate called me a bigot for raising this. Now, think about that for a second. I am concerned that there's a campaign which is targeting Jews and segregating Jews and making it look as though Jews are doing something that is more barbaric than the rest of everybody else is doing. And I get called a bigot. Now, that's just really, really interesting to me. But another prominent animal advocate, and I'm going to read the exact words again. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to give names here. But this is from another animal advocate. It's best, I think, to focus more on acknowledging and appreciating each other rather than criticism that can be hurtful and discouraging. Now, let's think about this for a second. This campaign is either facilitates anti-Semitism or it doesn't. Now, I can't see, and no one has made yet the argument to me that it does. Well, actually, somebody has, and I'll get to that in a second, but it's absurd. Nobody can make a colorable argument that this campaign doesn't facilitate anti-Semitism. Indeed, although I think those campaigns, for example, the Taiji campaign with the dolphins, I think that's a problem, too, because it facilitates and promotes discrimination against Asians. I mean, whenever anybody talks about Taiji on Facebook, all you got to do is, like, you know, you get to comment 3 in the thread, and it's about, you know, what a bunch of barbaric people those Japanese are and how horrible they are, and I'm glad they got, you know, that they have hurricanes and tsunamis or whatever the hell they have, you know, and they should all die, etc. They're bad people. And that's terrible. That's terrible. And I have objected to that campaign on the grounds that it facilitates anti-Asian discrimination and hatred towards Asians, as does the dog eating campaign in Korea and China. But all that stuff is problematic for much the same reason. But this is actually even worse in a sense, because the people who are criticizing, the people who are eating dogs and cats or killing dolphins, they're not eating dolphins, they're not eating dogs and cats. But you have people in this country who eat chicken, who are criticizing the Jews because they're using chickens in the Kapara ceremony. I mean, I'm sorry, but this does not make any sense to me whatsoever. And it's troubling. And so when somebody says to me, let's appreciate each other, let's sing kumbaya, let's all sort of, you know, gather around the campfire because we don't want to have criticism that's hurtful and discouraging, I have news for you. There's such a thing called morality. You either take a stand or you don't take a stand. And this sort of reminds me about, you know, in 1990, when PETA started with the I'd rather go naked than wear fur stuff, and I spoke out against it at the National Alliance for Animals. Remember the National Alliance for Animals, Bob? Are you old enough to remember that?
Yeah, I recall it, yes.
Yes. Well, you may be the only person on the planet next to me who does recall. But but the National Alliance for Animals, I actually spoke about this, the National Alliance, and got spit on by people because they were so angry that I was being critical of PETA. And at the time, I was still continuing to work with PETA and had, you know, I mean, but I was critical of it. And people said, well, you know, you can't criticize each other. And the thing is, that's cult behavior. The idea that something is immoral and you don't confront, and I'm sorry, I believe the PETA campaigns are vilely misogynistic and sexist. And they've gotten a lot worse than I'd rather go naked than wear fur. I mean, you know, you've seen over the years how they just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. They are vilely misogynist. And the idea that we shouldn't speak out against those things because animal people do them is nonsense. That's cult thinking. That is immoral thinking. And that's exactly what leads to evil in the world. The idea that, hey, if you're doing something wrong, but you're an animal person, so I'm going to shut up about it. You know, how do you draw the line between anti-Semitism or child molestation or child pornography? You say, well, you know, child pornography, we don't want to say anything. It's an animal person who's involved. Nonsense. If something's wrong, you have to, we have a moral obligation to be upfront about it.
Okay. We have to take a break. We will continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden with Professor Gary Francione. The website is goveganradio.com, and you can register for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at worldvegansummit.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And we're talking today to Professor Gary Francione. I also want to remind you about the World Vegan Summit and Expo for March 20, 21, 22 of 2015. Go to the website. You can register, see the activities, and even the sample menu. We'll be eating veganic. It's a step above organic, vegan organic agriculture. One second, Professor Francione, I just wanted to mention that we solved the mystery of the missing Mayun Park.
Yes. Tell me, please.
There is a temporary or an acting executive director now named Anne Malleau, M-A-L-L-E-A-U. She was the Global Animal Production and Welfare Coordinator for Whole Foods. And so she has an animal agriculture background, you know, from education, Bachelor of Science in Agriculture and Master of Science in Animal Behavior and Welfare at Guelph, Guelph, Ontario. And agribusiness person, as Mayun Park was too, right? So
So basically now a Whole Foods agriculture person has taken over an organization that has on the board the CEO of the Humane Society. you can't make this stuff up, man. You can't make it up. But I'm still not clear as to why they didn't change the phone to reflect the fact that, you know, that there was a different executive director. But look,
it's a five-step procedure to change the phone there.
Exactly. You know, but I want to go back to this idea that we as animal advocates have to completely reject this idea that just because an animal person is doing something, we can't be critical of it, because that's why we have all these sexist campaigns. That's why we have a lot of these campaigns which have the effect of targeting minority groups. And we need to stand up and speak out about these things. And the idea that, well, if an animal person is doing it, that's cult behavior. That's not consistent with a vibrant social movement. We need to always be critiquing what's going on to make sure that what's going on is consistent with the moral ideals of a progressive social movement. And so, you know, now one of the other responses I got two other responses I want to mention quickly. One was this notion that, well, you know, if vegans are doing this, it's really a vegan campaign. I hear this all the time, and I hear it in the context of animal welfare campaigns. People say, well, you know, yeah, it's a welfare reform campaign, but these people who are doing it, I hear this a lot, you know, with these organizations, they say, oh, but the people who are doing it are vegans and it's a vegan campaign. The answer is no, it's not. If it's not a vegan campaign, it's not a vegan campaign. I don't want to hear that there are vegans involved. It's like that March for Slaughterhouses or March to Close Slaughterhouses or whatever. People are saying, well, you know, there are vegans involved. Well, you know what? There are vegans involved in lots of campaigns. It doesn't mean that they're vegan campaigns. The other comment, the only justification I got for this Caparo's campaign was that he said, well, you know, Jews, it's okay, it's not anti-Semitic. And I said, why isn't it anti-Semitic? Because some Jews are supporting it. Now, at first I thought that was a joke, but in fact, I have it all in writing. That should dispel the claim that it's anti-Semitic because some Jews are supporting it. That's like saying Clarence Thomas, who's a very arch conservative member of the United States Supreme Court, you know, regularly opposes things which help people of color. So we should say that, well, you know, when there's a response to racism, the fact that Clarence Thomas doesn't think it's a good response doesn't mean that there isn't racism because Clarence Thomas doesn't feel that there's racism. The idea that because some Jews support this campaign, and some Jews do support the anti-Kapras campaign. Some of them spoke at the event at the New York City Bar Association. That doesn't mean it's not anti-Semitic. I just want to try to sensitize people to single-issue campaigns. They're the stock and trade of the animal movement. And I realize, you know, as Bob mentioned last week, a lot of animal advocates see them as ways into teaching people about veganism. The problem is these campaigns are never, ever officially, explicitly, openly, and, you know, consistently coupled with veganism. If there is a vegan connection, it's way low down. It's the individual advocates who say, well, yeah, I'm opposed to fur, but I'm also opposed to wool and leather, and I'm also a vegan. If there's an individual advocate that will veganize the anti-fur campaign, that's fine. But the anti-fur campaign's been around for as long as I've been around, and it's never been veganized.
We're out of time.
Very good. Yes, World Vegan Summit. We'll talk more about it next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Gary. Okay, thanks for listening. Love animals. Don't eat them. Go vegan, please.